So today I'm going to share with you a Christmas sermon. Is that all right? Is it too early for a Christmas sermon? You know, January is going to be here before we know it. I mean, Christmas is going to be over before we know it. And once Thanksgiving is over, it just seems like Christmas just creeps up on us. It don't even creep. It runs upon us very fast. So I've entitled this today, my Christmas sermon. I've called it Home Alone. How many have seen the movie Home Alone? Come on, let me see. How many have seen the movie Home Alone? All right. You know, Home Alone came out in 1990, and it topped the gross earnings of any TV show or movie up until that time. It was the number one top earning grossing live action comedy film of all time. And it became so very popular that how many knows they made sequels to it? I don't know how many, but Max, how many did they make? Six? Max knows. He's watched them all and he can tell you word for word what they say. We can just turn the volume down and Max can narrate all the movies for us. But are the teens staying down today? Is this the, okay. I thought maybe Max was staying because I told him I was preaching on Home Alone. how many's found out? I don't know what you think about it, but I think the first one is still the best. Agree? You know, number two, number three, they were okay. But the first Home Alone, I think, was probably the very best one. And and even though this movie is a comedy, and even though there's a lot of good things and funny things that happen in it, don't let it fool you. Just because I've got one right here. Is that one cold? Do I need a drink? I didn't know if my voice sounded that bad or not. Okay, so where was I at? Even though it's a comedy, it's hilarious. Do you know there's some things in that movie that can be applied spiritually, and especially in this day and time that we're living, and especially at this time of the year? And Lou opened the service with, and I had to jot it down because he jotted this down. He said this, and I jotted it down. You're not alone. Do you remember saying that, Lou? You're not alone. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. And today, I want to talk a little bit about I don't know what you call it, but it's just maybe a stronghold, or maybe it's an attack of loneliness that's upon our land and upon our city. Especially during the Christmas season, how people can be left alone. Now, I can watch just about any movie and make a sermon out of it. I've just learned to sermonize everything I see. I was thinking about doing The Grinch. But I thought, no, I better save that for Lou because he knows that movie better than I do. But there's sermons in every movie. But I want us to take a closer look at the message in the comedy movie Home Alone, and let's see if we can apply them to our lives. Let me just give you a real quick background. Has anybody not seen Home Alone? Wow, I'm still going to give you the background. Okay. Kevin McAllister, he's an 8-year-old boy who is mistakenly left behind when his family flies to Paris for a Christmas vacation. Now, on the night before they leave for the trip, the entire McAllister family gathers in the house. There's family that comes together, and they all come there. And there's a little bit of contention between Kevin and his brother and his cousins. There's a little, just like real life, there's a little bit of contention there. And after an argument, Buzz, he fights with his older brother Buzz, and they have a word fight. Well, the story goes on, and it says, as soon as that happens, Kevin is sent to the third floor bedroom to sleep in the attic. How many remembers that part? Am I pretty clear? Okay. Now, in the midst of this tantrum, in the midst of this fighting, he tells his mother. Now, this is pretty strong. He tells his mother, who punished him, that he hated her. He wished that he would never have to see his family again. How many remembers that part? Well, just in case you forgot, I brought you a clip this morning.
It's too late. Get upstairs.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then maybe you should ask Santa for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
Just stay up there. I don't want to see you again for the rest of the night.
I don't want to see you again for the rest of my whole life. And I don't want to see anybody else either.
I hope you don't mean that. You'd feel pretty sad if you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't have a family.
No, I wouldn't.
Then say it again. Maybe it'll happen.
I hope I never see any jerks again. I wish they would all just disappear.
I just wish they'd all disappear. The truth is, in the end, he's all alone. He's lonely, and he feels like nobody cares. And so right after that scene, it goes to the scene where the storm is coming in. There's a storm that comes in, and the wind blows, and it knocks out the electricity. And, of course, you know the story. The alarm clocks don't go off just like they're supposed to. So in the end, they're all running and gathering their luggage and gathering their tickets and running out to the vans and to the cars. And in the rush to get to the airport, Kevin is accidentally left behind. You ever felt like you've been left behind? That's where we're going today. Kevin wakes up. His family's disappeared. He got what he desired. And now he's overjoyed, though. He's excited. Man, I'm all alone. I can eat all the ice cream I want. Can I hear an amen, Max? I can eat all the ice cream I want. I can do whatever I want. Nobody to tell me what to do. I'm all alone. And he finds out soon, though, that it's not all that it's cracked up to be. How many knows some of that turns into fear when he realizes the bandits. What's their name? The wet bandits. The wet bandits appear, and they start attacking Kevin. And it's almost more than he can handle. And we read on here that being alone wasn't quite as popular and as good as he imagined it being. And Robert Fulghum writes in his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Some of you may have read that book. He says that he's sitting at his desk by a window and watching the kids playing hide-and-seek outside. One of the kids hides too well. Now it's beginning to get dark, and all the other kids go home, and they leave the kid hiding under a pile of leaves. That's no fun. In fact, the joy of the game is turned to sadness when the child realizes he's been left out, and he's there all alone. What's the point? What's the point besides a funny movie? What's the point? There are feelings of loneliness and rejection during this Christmas season that we will not even pick up on if we don't stay sensitive to people. Because somebody can come to church, have a smile on their face, they can clap their hands, but you don't know deep down inside how lonely that person may be. They may be all by themselves. Mother Teresa said this, loneliness and feeling of being unwanted is the worst kind of poverty. Shall I say it again? Loneliness and feelings of being unwanted is the worst kind of poverty. How many's ever felt like you were forgotten? Come on now. How many's felt like nobody notices my talent? Nobody recognizes me. Nobody sees all the hard work I do. I've been forgotten about. They don't even call my name from the pulpit. Nobody recognizes me. Look how much I've done. Look how much I've given. Look how much I've contributed to. You know, I come in and I volunteer all the time. And what am I, a fifth wheel? Doesn't anybody really care about me? My talent's not noticed. Nobody appreciates what you do. And it begins to make a way for maybe a little sadness and maybe a little loneliness. And I'm telling you, there are people in church today, and they may be right here with us this morning, that have those feelings of loneliness and sadness, and like they're all alone and nobody cares for them. Isn't that sad? That you could be sitting next to somebody that feels that way. And because all we see is the outward, we don't know sometimes. And I want us to pray this morning. I want us to be sensitive about not allowing people to be hurting because they're all alone, because there's something we can do. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that exciting amen. there is something we can do, and if you'll stick around for a few minutes, we'll talk about that. So, God's people, I mean, there's been many times in the Old Testament when the people of God, when God left them, he turned his back on them. He walked away from them. Well, it started because they forgot him, right? They forgot him. They forgot. And so God just said, well, you know what? If you think you can do it without me, go right ahead and do it. And there was many times that they felt all alone. But how many knows what they did? After a period of time, they'd always come back and say, oh, God, we're sorry. We repent. We need you in our lives. We can't make it by ourselves. There's a lot of people today in America, and maybe even in this church this morning, that feel like they can make it by themselves, that they don't need God, or they don't that God's a crutch, or that they can't, you know, they can make it through life without praying and calling upon the Lord. But if you read your Old Testament, you'll find that every time these children of Israel were abandoned, every time they were forgotten, God always found a way to bring them back home. He always found a way, and most of the time, they would always repent and say, God, we have sinned against you. And good old God would come right back and restore to them their fortune, restore to them their houses, and sometimes restore sevenfold. Because that's the kind of God we're serving. God wants us to depend upon him. God wants us to want him. It's okay. He made us with that need, that vacuum, to need him in our everyday life. Amen? And so God finds ways to restore his children after they've gone astray. And in fact, I want to see this verse, Psalms 126. Psalms 126, verses 1 through 3. It's a good passage of scripture. We've preached from this many times. It says, when the Lord brought back, everybody say, the Lord brought back. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, remember now, Jerusalem was destroyed because they turned their backs on God, and God allowed the enemy to come in and take over. But it says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter. We sang for joy. And the other nations even said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. We are entering into a period of time in our year when it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yet it's not going to be for many people. The song, I don't know who wrote the song. I don't even know who all sings the song, but they sing it's the most wonderful time of the year. Aren't you glad I didn't sing it? But Christmas time. The pageants and the decoration and the lights, they ought to all lift us up and encourage us about reminding us of who Jesus is and why he came to this earth. Amen. Amen. You hear the songs, you know, you need a little good cheer, you know, let's drink our, what's that stuff called they drink? Eggnog, yeah, and there's lots of presents under the Christmas tree, and there's celebrations, and there's gatherings, and there's dinners at the church, there's dinners at the in-laws, there's dinners at the grandparents, there's dinners at the children's house, and as wonderful as all that may be, it's hard to believe that somebody would say, it is not the most wonderful time of the year for me. Isn't that sad? The most wonderful time of the year. Parties, holiday gatherings, giving of gifts, and people are still feeling lonely and crying and dying on the inside. It's not the most happiest time of the year for them. What can we do about it as believers? What can we do? Where do we stand? Do we just turn our head and say, poor sucker, you just go on? Do we try to help? Do we try to bring joy to people? Do we just stay hard? Or do we pray and be sensitive and say, God, what can I do to help bring joy to this family? What can I do to help this individual during this season? Make it a joyful time for them. To some people, it's not the most joyful time of the year. To some people, it's the most depressing time of the year. Amen? Not only is it depressing, but it's also lonely, it's also isolated, it's also frustrating, aggravating, and it's also the most expensive time of the year. You know, in 2023, America, United States of America, spent $1.1 trillion during the Christmas holidays. Did you know that you can be in a room full of people like you are today and still feel all alone? Darlene and I, when we first got married, we went to some larger meetings, and I knew several of the people there, and she didn't know them, and she'd be sitting down, we'd be sitting together, and I said, "Oh, there's so and so," and I'd jump up out of the seat and run over and greet them, and she just sat there. "Oh, there's somebody else," and I'd run over and greet them, and 30 minutes later I'd come back, and she said, "I felt so alone," and there was 1,000 people in the room, but she felt all alone. How many knows there could be people here today feeling the same way? You could be rubbing elbows with somebody. You may have accidentally bumped them because you're sitting so close, but I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody has that feeling that we're not alone. There are people here today, I'm sure, that feel like they've been left out, that they're the fifth wheel, or that nobody notices them. 7 billion people in the world, and we still feel alone. In spite of Instagram, texting, Facebook, you know, it doesn't matter how many friends you have on Facebook. How many friends do you have at your dinner table? How many friends do you have at the restaurant? How many friends do you have greeting you and loving on you? Amen? I'm telling you what, social media is not where we find our friends. Amen? And everybody, listen, God created us on the inside for community. He created us to be together. Do you know He created the church, and the church is the gathering place of the believers? I know that this building is not the church, but it is the place that we've dedicated. And by the way, it's the place we're going to pay off next year in this next 6-8 months. It's going to be paid off, thank God. But listen, this is a building, but we're a family here. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, we can meet at the city dump and still have church because we're family. We're community. God ordained us to have family and community. We need one another. We crave that closeness. Now, there are some people that like to isolate themselves and make us think that they don't need anybody, but how many knows they end up being the Grinch or the Grump or the... Amen? Reminds me of that song that Elvis Presley sang. You mind if I sing a few bars of it? I'll have a blue... Forgive me. Christmas. Here, listen to the words. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. It's lonely at Christmas time to not have family. I remember one time, Darlene, when we had a lady come into this church. She lived in Cape Girardeau. And actually, she lived here in Farmington for a while by herself. She was not able to necessarily have independent living. And so we brought her to our house for Christmas. And then she moved to Cape to another home down there. We drove down to Cape, picked her up, and brought her back to our house for Christmas dinner because we knew she was alone and we wanted to impart some love to her. You know what? That's Christianity in action. What's it say about this is true? True Christianity is caring for the orphans and the widows. Can I hear a good amen this morning? And so, you know, it's fun. It's fun to find somebody that may be alone, and they'll probably never tell you, but you can just open your eyes and see. And thank God, we were created for relationship. We were created for community. That's why, now get me, get this, that's why the Lord says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we need one another. We need the community.
Amen.
Now, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of people here today because it's Thanksgiving holiday, and I know people are gone, probably still gone for the holiday, but we still need to come together because we're family. We need one another. I don't know about you, but I need you. You may not need me, but I need you. Even you, Brother Fink, when I look back there at you, I think, I need you, brother. Oh, no, we need everybody. Amen. We need them all. Whew. Am I going anywhere with this? Anybody getting anything out of this? We were created for relationships. Nobody was meant to be solo. Amen. God created us with a need for one another. Amen. How many knows you can be alone without being lonely? Huh? You can be alone without being lonely. And you know, I think of some of the widows in our church that have lost their husbands, and they're alone. But some of them, they're not lonely. They're doing really good. They're doing all right. You can be alone without being lonely, but you can also be lonely in a crowded room of 1,000 people. Amen. Okay, so here, let me read this. Loneliness is therefore a state of mind, an emotion brought on by feelings of separation from other human beings. The sense of isolation is very deeply felt by those who are lonely. And you know what? It just keeps growing, and it's like it just keeps building and building. Another Christmas. Oh boy, I got to go through another Christmas all alone. Some people hate the Christmas season because of that. But I tell you what, I believe some of you here today are grabbing a hold of this, and we're going to open our eyes, we're going to pray and say, God, help me find somebody that I can minister some joy to this Christmas. I'm not saying you got to take them home with you and feed them. I'm not saying you got to take them out. I'm just saying find somebody that you can impart some joy to. Amen. Psalms 25:16. Man, there's a lot of people in the Bible that felt alone. How many knows David felt alone? Can you imagine him running the hills of Judea and being chased by Saul the king, and he's all alone? And you must did he thank my God? God, you must have missed it because you called me to be the king. Come on. We've all said the same thing. But there's a lot of lonely people in the Bible. I'm telling you what, Timothy was lonely. Paul was lonely. Even Jesus was lonely. Remember when he said, my God, why are you forsaken? Why have you forsaken me? Yep. Psalms 25:16. O Lord, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Has anybody ever felt like that? Let's be truthful. Yeah. Psalms 13:1. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me. May it not be charged against them, says the Apostle Paul. And then, of course, Jesus said in Matthew 27, he shouted out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to talk to you just real briefly this morning on four lies that we tell ourselves about loneliness, okay? Jot them down. I didn't put them on the board, but you can jot them down or you can go back and listen. Okay, lie number one, loneliness means I am alone. That is a lie. Loneliness doesn't mean that you're all alone. Loneliness, because like I said, you can be in a room full of people and still be lonely, amen? So loneliness strips away, here's the truth, loneliness strips away the external comforts of those around me, driving me to find comfort in Christ alone. That's where our comfort comes from. You know, I realize we need one another, but listen, I don't have to depend on you for my comfort. I depend upon God for my comfort. He is the one that comforts us in all situations. And I believe there's times that maybe God might even allow us to feel all alone so that we'll get on our face before him and seek his face, get into his word, and get to know him a little better, and you'll find out that God never leaves you. Amen. Your wife might, your husband might. Your family might, but God will never, never leave you all alone. I think God's grace maybe allow us to go through that season so that we can draw closer to him. And that's what we need to do. In fact, you can't find lasting comfort in anybody except the Lord God Almighty. He's the only one that can comfort you at all times. Look with me, if you would please, at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father. He is the what? The source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can what? Comfort others. Sometimes we may go through something and get comforted by God, so when we bump into somebody else that's going through something, we can comfort them with the comfort that God comforted us with. And please don't ask me to say that again. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Do y'all see that this morning? How could God comfort you if you never went through anything? How would you know he's the comforter if you're always comforted? And sometimes I really believe that sometimes we go through these periods of maybe loneliness or feel like we're all alone or nobody cares or nobody notices. But mark it down. God does, and God will come through. He will comfort you, and then you're going to bump into somebody that feels just like you felt like, and you'll be able to minister to them just like God ministered to you. You can take the comfort that God gave to you, and you can pass it on to somebody else.
Amen.
Come on. I get it. That really deserves a house big amen. That's a house amen statement right there. Lie number two, no one understands. No one understands. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that suffered this loneliness. Nobody, everybody else in the church has got a friend. Everybody else has got a close person that they hang out with. And I'm never invited to their hangouts. And I'm the only one. And no one can understand my pain. No one can understand my loneliness. You know what? That's a lie from the devil to make you think you are all alone.
Amen.
Here's the truth. Listen to the truth. That was lie number two, but here's the truth. Christ will not ask me to suffer anything that he himself has not already suffered. And many who have gone before me have endured similar or harder roads than I have in order to bring me the comfort they received in Christ. This is pretty good teaching, isn't it?
Amen.
You thought I was going to talk about Kevin McAllister, didn't you? One of the reasons that temptation attacks us, I'm the only one. Everybody else has got friends. Everybody else goes out to lunch with people. Everybody else invites somebody else over to their house for dinner. I don't have any friends. God wants you to get into that pity party. God wants you to just wrap yourself up in a package. And how many know a person that's all wrapped up in themselves makes a pretty small package, right? And so, but God wants you to just see yourself as the victim, and that victim mentality will hold you in bondage. And God has got somebody. There is somebody for you to, you know, whether you're single or whether you're married and you feel all alone. Your husband and wife feel like, you know, nobody ever invites us. You know, I think about the times that all of you get invited to Dwayne's house. I don't get invited. Should I feel sorry for myself? Lou and Dwayne and Gabe and all these guys, they'll get together, and Dylan, and they'll go out to lunch. I don't remember them asking me if I want to go. I guess if I wanted to go, I'd just go, right? But we can't afford to play the pity party game, right? We can't fall into that, because that'll suck you in a hole, in a black hole that'll cause you to isolate yourself from everybody, and we need one another. We are a community. God never designed for you to be home alone.
Amen?
Amen? You get anything out of this today?
Yes,
okay, I'm almost finished. Even if we do know that another person who can relate to our pain, because of different temperaments and levels of maturity in our faith, sometimes the responses are not quite as expectant as we thought they should be. In other words, because everybody's at a different level in their faith, everybody has different temperaments, and somebody didn't talk to you, does that mean they don't like you? You know, because your maturity level is not as high as somebody else and they didn't shake your hand, does that make you feel like, you know, I'm all alone or nobody cares about me at Solid Rock? They didn't shake my hand when I left? Come on. We're all at different levels, aren't we? But it's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the devil. And if the enemy, listen to this, if the enemy can make us believe that there is truly no one who can understand, we will shut other people out. We'll become vagabond, is that the right word? We'll become an island to ourselves. Amen? You heard about the man that was stranded on an island? And this is not my notes, so I'm going to try to give this to you from memory. But he was stranded on a desert island out in the middle. I don't know, is there such thing as a desert island? Yeah, I guess there is. He was stranded out in the desert, nobody, uninhabited. And so he built himself a church, and he went to church every Sunday. He was faithful every Sunday. But then he decided to build another church. And so he built a second church. Well, when they discovered him and found him, they said, well, what's this building? He said, oh, that's my church. That's the church I built. Well, what's this other building? Well, that's the other building, because I couldn't get along with the people in the first building. The danger of isolation is it will lead us away from the very people that God has put in our path to help us. Now, you might think you don't need anybody, and you might think you could be a hermit. I've heard people say this. I could just be a hermit. That's not the way God designed us. Maybe you think you could, and you know what? Maybe you could for a year. Maybe you could for 2 or 3 years. But listen, eventually, you're going to need somebody, because we all need one another. Is that okay today?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. So what happens is when we isolate ourselves, it will begin to lead us towards bitterness. It'll lead us towards criticism of everybody. It'll lead us towards depression and hardness and regret. Amen. Here we go. Jesus Christ is the only one who can enter our pain and fully and completely, yes, he knows our hearts. He alone knows our hearts. He knows our temperaments. He knows our insecurities. He knows your emotions. He knows your fears. He knows your desires. Amen? So thank God. Now, I got another one here somewhere. Oh, let's read 2 Corinthians 1 and 5. 2 Corinthians 1 and 5. Everybody still with me? Shout amen.
Amen.
The more we suffer for Christ, look at this, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are confronted, when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same thing we suffer. Isn't that good? You like that, Brother Sue? That's good stuff, isn't it? Lie number three. Well, God must not be loving. A loving God wouldn't make me take the lonely road. God wouldn't isolate me. God would, if God really loved me, he would always provide me with support and always provide me with encouragement and understanding, especially from those that I'm close to and around me. Listen to this. The truth is, a loving God sent his own son down the loneliest road ever known to man so that I would never have to walk any road alone. Y'all see that? You see that this morning? He allows us to experience his glimpses of the path that he walked so that when we walk down that same thing, we can have comfort knowing that, you know what? Jesus made it so we can make it. Hebrews 12 and 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. That's worth writing down. That's worth marking in your Bible. Hebrews 12 and 3. Think of all the NLT. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Somebody say, good scripture. No, lie number four. This is the last one. Lie number four. I don't have enough faith. I just don't have enough faith. I feel alone, and because I'm alone, I must not have enough faith. I feel home alone. The truth is, holding fast to Jesus despite the loneliness proclaims to those around me that he is worth the lonely path that I walk. Did y'all get that? Do I need to repeat it? Holding fast to Jesus despite the loneliness proclaims to those around me that he is worth the lonely path I walk. I'm not walking alone. Remember the song, You'll Never Walk Alone. You'll never walk alone. You'll never go through something that the Lord didn't go through before you to help you get through it. And so when you say, I have no faith, or nobody cares, or nobody's walked this path before, we might be alone, but listen, church, we are never abandoned. Can I say it again? We might feel alone, but we're never abandoned. The Bible says he will never leave us as orphans. I won't leave you fatherless. I won't leave you as orphans. Amen? So maybe, Brother Roth, the going through this process is helping us to build strength, build our faith, and build our trust in him. So that when somebody else tells us they're going through that, we'll be able to help them get through the same thing. I hope I'm not boring anybody today. John chapter 16. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In other words, you're not alone. You may be the only one in your house, but you're not alone. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. Worship team, if you'd like to join me on this platform, we'll wind this down. Deuteronomy 4, 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not what? He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant that he made with your ancestors. He will not forget you. He will not abandon you. He will not forget the promises. He'll not forget the covenant. He's not going to forget his promises. Shame on us when we forget the promises of God. Amen? You're in this building this morning and maybe you feel all alone. Maybe you feel like nobody really cares about you. Maybe you feel like, you know, I've got my wife, I've got my girlfriend, I've got my boyfriend, I've got my classmates, I've got my boss or my fellow workers, but nobody really, really cares about me. I want you to know something this morning. The Lord God Almighty cares about you more than any of us as individuals could possibly ever attain. We could never love you exactly like God loves you. Everybody say this with me. I'm not alone. Stand to your feet and let's say it out loud. I am not alone. I am not alone. Would you just look at somebody right now and say, I need you. And you need me. And you need me. We need one another. Say this with me. And I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to pat anything on the back, but I want to tell you something. You need to say, I need solid rock. I need solid rock. I need the ministry of solid rock. Yes, there's a lot of ministries in Farmington. 63640 has a lot of churches. 63601, a lot of churches. Is that Park Hills? But listen, you need this church. You know why? Because this is where God planted you. This is where God planted you. And you know what? If you decide to pluck yourself up before God's finished with you, you'll never grow or amount to anything. And that's why so many people are church hoppers and they never mature, they never grow up, they never find their place because they're always jumping around from church to church because something offended them or they didn't agree with 100% of the teaching. Listen, you'll never agree with all of my theology. You'll never agree with all of Solid Rock doctrine. And that's okay. We're not saying we got it all right. So if you leave because you don't agree with the, 100% of the doctrine, listen, honey, you ain't going to find any church where you agree with 100% of the doctrine. And if you leave because you see some imperfect people in here, guess what? You might go to a perfect church, but it'll be imperfect when you get there. There's no perfect churches. Guess what? There's no perfect pastors. And I promise you, there's no perfect pastor's wives. Whoa, I didn't even get a woo on that one, did I? You need that imperfect person around you. There may be somebody here in this church today, you don't even know their name. They may have been coming here, 5 years and you still don't know their name. That's sad, isn't it? By the way, I got a call from Lyndon Butch Priest yesterday. Butch is home. He went home on Tuesday. He's doing good. He said, I don't think I can be at church Sunday, but he's on his way. He's on his way back. And so continue to pray for Butch. Also, Brother Medeiros' father, we got a report a few days ago that he was dying. And I talked to him yesterday, and he said, oh, no, Dad's turned around. He's doing really good now. So thank you for your prayers. We need each other. When you get that text from the prayer team, stop what you're doing and just say a simple prayer. If you're driving, if you're eating, whatever it is, just stop and say a simple prayer. And by the way, thank you all for signing up to be on the text for prayer requests, because people will call the church all the time or text and say, I need prayer. Can you pray? And the worst thing we can do is say, yeah, we'll take care of it Sunday morning. Because you know what? Some people may not make it till Sunday morning. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:6. We still up? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. For the Lord, your God, will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Isn't that good news? And then, of course, in Matthew 28, we all know the scripture where Jesus said, you can be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. Father, I pray right now for those under the sound of our voice that feel like they're all alone. They may even feel like they're just out of place. Maybe they're even questioning, should I even be here at Solid Rock because I'm all alone? Heavenly Father, would you open our eyes to help us to see those that are feeling like that so that we can comfort them. We can wrap our arms around them and love them. I pray, God, that not one person in this church will go through this season and not be a joyful time. I pray, God, that we'll receive, that our eyes will be open and we will see the real meaning of Christmas. And it's not about the gifts, but it's about rejoicing that our Savior came to give us life more abundantly, and so that we could love and comfort people in the same way He loves and comforts us. Thank you for this word today, Lord. I pray that it has touched somebody's heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will even convict somebody today, anybody today, more than one whose heart is not right with you. They thought they could make it without you. They thought, I'm alone, I can make it by myself. But I believe, God, you're opening our eyes and helping us to see we need a Savior. Help us to understand, Lord, if Jesus is not our Lord and Savior, that we're not going to spend eternity in heaven, that should our life be snapped away from us, that we would be in hell for eternity. Show us, God, how bad we need you and how much we need you. And we need one another.